listening to the panel discussion called See What You Mean, An Evening of Insurrections with Harry Gamboa Jr., featuring Harry Gamboa, painter Ramiro Gomez, artist Guadalupe Rosales, and moderated by UCLA ethnomusicologist and author Chon Noriega. If you would like to find out more about the From the Vault series, go to fromthevaultradio.org. If you would like to browse our entire 50,000 program collection, go to pacificaradioarchives.org. Thank you to the J. Paul Getty Museum for allowing us to record this and present this to you today. The theme song is an original composition written by Nancy Sanchez and Gina Recamier. Thank you for listening and helping keep our history alive.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up at 9 a.m., it's Fight the Empire.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, the intelligence community reported to the president on Russian activities regarding our 2020 elections. The report starts by pointing to the difference between election influence and election interference. Influence covers just about any effort to, quote, affect directly or indirectly, unquote, an election. It's a broad category, to say the least. Interference focuses on technical aspects, hacking of voter registration, casting and counting of ballots, or reporting results. And this report made five key judgments. Number one, no evidence was found of foreign actors trying to interfere in the 2020 election. Number two, we assess that Russian President Putin, authorized influence operations. Number three, Iran also carried out an influence campaign, but this one was against former President Trump. Four, China did not interfere. They considered an influence campaign, but refrained. Number five, Hezbollah, Cuba, and Venezuela attempted small-scale influence operations. So the main charge is that the Russians, under President Putin's direction, try to influence the U.S. election. And they did that by, quote, denigrating President Biden, unquote, and the Democrats, supporting former President Trump, undermining confidence in the electoral process, and exacerbating divisions in the U.S. In this report, there's much detail about which Russian intelligence operatives were involved, and we are repeatedly told of their intentions, but it takes a while before we get any mention of the substance of the allegations. And they are barely mentioned in passing, such as, one, denigrating mail-in ballots, the killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, and corrupt ties between Biden and his son and Ukraine. And these are substantive issues, but they are just barely mentioned. So it's kind of hard to deal with this sort of thinking unless one is talking to oneself. The purpose of any utterance, whether it's written or verbal, is to influence others. That's what's called communication. So when we're told that the Russians are trying to influence us, all I can do is shrug. We are also trying to influence them. That's what Radio Free Europe was all about, getting the U.S. message to people behind the Iron Curtain back in the Soviet Union. It has since evolved into combating President Putin in the hearts and minds of the Russian people today. So the real question is, what about truth? It's been said that the truth often hurts, and the true history of our involvement in Ukraine, which is heating up these days, holds a world of hurt. A little background of Ukraine. Apparently, the tensions are heating up at the borders of Ukraine, and there's a lot of the complaints continue about Russia annexing Crimea from Ukraine. But they never mention much of the back history of this event. Crimea was part of Russian territory since about 1798. So Crimea was part of Russia in the Soviet Union for about 150 years. Then in 1954, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev gave the Crimea to Ukraine, sort of on a whim or what, a personal whatever. I mean, Khrushchev himself is Ukrainian, but he sort of turned it over arbitrarily to Ukraine, not consulting the people of Crimea. Since then, there were events going on in Ukraine where the elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, was forced out of office. The thing to keep in mind is that he was elected. He was considered friendly to Russia. At one point, he chose a Russian financial deal over a European Union financial deal, and that's when trouble started in the streets of Kiev. And there were violent rallies in Kiev. People might remember that the State Department's number two woman, Victoria Nuland, was there passing out cookies to the rioters. There were mysterious snipers in nearby rooftops shooting people, apparently on both sides of this violent struggle. And so the elected president of Ukraine was forced to flee, and the rioters put their own person in charge, who was subsequently reelected. In the meantime, Yanukovych, his main support came from eastern Ukraine, which for some reason is populated, for historical reasons, is populated mainly by Russian-speaking people. And they felt that their man was forced out of office, and they began a kind of a struggle for their own identity, which continues to this day. Apparently, thousands of people have been killed in this sort of border war. So that is a background of what is going on in Ukraine. And for the U.S. to focus on the Russians trying to influence U.S. opinion, this seems really beside the point. It's missing the real struggle that is going on. It's a very complicated issue, but it sort of boils all down to Putin trying to influence our thinking, which is kind of normal. They're making making something wrong and out of basic human communication. This show is brought to you by KBOO, your radio station. If people want to call in with a comment, the number is 503-231-8187. And we also we always welcome people calling in with a contribution our pledge drive is not like it was in previous years, because we don't have a station. The station building is closed, so we don't have our pledge drive days. So we're doing it differently this time. We want people to call in and keep on the... You might say we're having a year-round pledge drive. We're always ready to take your contributions, and they are always... It's easy to make them. Just go on the KABU webpage or give us a call. I think the number to call for KABU contributions is 503-231-8032. Anyway, back to the show. In Brazil, Lula is back. Labor leader Luiz Inácio da Silva, 2 years back, was falsely accused of fraud, and he spent a year and a half in prison. But he was freed, and now President Jair Bolsonaro is scared. Bolsonaro, an army captain, scoffed at the COVID virus, which is killing thousands of Brazilians. He has pushed logging in the Amazon, and now Lula is back, and election is coming up next year. You might say that Bolsonaro's presidency has been a disaster. More people are seeing him for the fool that he is, and we might wonder, will he find a way to once again keep Lula from running, and will the people let it happen this time? So stay tuned. This is something that is an ongoing struggle in Brazil. In the course of reading about keeping up with the news, I keep hearing a lot about robots and how they can do almost anything that needs to be done, and even things that are better left undone. My question is, robots run on electricity, and is there enough energy for all these mechanical servants, especially if we have to give up fossil fuels and get along on renewable energy? And you might ask, are we heading into a world where, according to some visionary observers, we are heading into a world where robots do all the work? And you wonder what is left for humans. Do they sit around on their butts and write strange poetry? Well, I think not. But what is your opinion? Do you think that robots are part of our future? But give us a call at 503-231-8187 and let us know. I'd like to say a little more about the Ukraine. If you go back in history, Ukraine is, if you look at the borders of Ukraine, it's you have it's really a divided country. The western half is sort of Ukraine proper. Ukraine for a couple of centuries, never really had a border. I mean, there was a Ukrainian language and culture, but it kind of it was always part of some larger entity, part of the Russian Empire, part of actually at one time there was a Polish-Lithuanian Empire, and so Ukraine was always part of something larger. And so the western part of Ukraine is sort of Ukraine proper. And somehow the eastern part of Ukraine, which is like I said before, is populated by Russian-speaking people who sort of have their connections with Russia. And it didn't make a whole lot of difference when in the Soviet Union, because in those days Ukraine was... It's not so much an independent nation. It was a department. It was one of the constituent republics of the Soviet Union. And so when Premier Khrushchev gave Crimea to Ukraine, it didn't seem to make that much difference. Well, now it does make a difference, because Ukraine is an independent country, although there's a lot of meddling going on from the West and from the East. And so when we talk at what the Western observers, when our observers and our pontificators talk about Russia annexing Crimea, they leave out this backstory of a long history of Crimea being part of the Russian nation. They kind of start with the year 2014, I believe it was, when you had the uprising in Kiev, which was sort of partly instigated and kept percolating by Western interests. And so we don't get the complete story. We get this kind of a little slice of sort of one little picture from this ongoing struggle. And so what is going on in Ukraine now, it kind of comes and goes. It gets heated up for one reason or another, and it could very easily lead to some kind of a war, because it's a very unstable situation where you have two pretty evenly matched communities vying for control in this one nation. You really have to wonder why, not only how these borders got that way, but whether they are really helping the people of the region. And so there's really not any unexpected development that there is a war going on in eastern Ukraine, because of things I mentioned before, where an elected president was overthrown, forced out of office, and his supporters were naturally very apprehensive. One of the things that got them upset was that the Russian language is downgraded. Until then, Russian and Ukrainian had sort of had equal status in this sort of bicommunal organization. And so, but when the Ukrainian side took over, one of the first things they did was downgrade the Russian language, although they were forced to reinstate it eventually. But There are reasons for this ongoing struggle and for this war in eastern Ukraine, but it's kind of stuff you don't really hear very much in the news. You get very one-sided news in this country, and you get one-sided and kind of you might get one-sided news. It makes for a blindsided public, where we're surprised when things don't develop according to the kind of outlook that we're constantly heard given on the mainstream news. That's one reason to stay tuned to KBOO, because you do get news you don't hear elsewhere on the radio dial. And we would like to we need your support. We have sort of an ongoing pledge drive. We depend on your pledges, and we also depend on your input. If you've been listening to this show, what is your opinion? Do you think that there are bad things in store in Ukraine, and what can we do about it? The number to call is 503-231-8187. Another interesting thing that happened in the news recently was a large a freighter kind of blocked the Suez Canal. This big, huge freighter loaded up with cargo cargo carriers, like boxcars stacked one on top of the other, and it was going through the Suez Canal, and somehow it got sort of shifted, and it wound up sort of going, blocking the waterway, and it was, I guess, blocking the canal for about a week before it was ever successfully freed. And so it finally was free. Meanwhile, shipping had backed up along the canal, and when you think about it, the Suez Canal is one of the vital links in our global economy. It is a global choke point, and it got choked on one ship that went aground was able to choke off supply lines serving many nations in our global economy. It was finally freed, and I guess things are still getting unraveled over there, but it shows that the global economy, global trade, maybe has more than one choke point. When everything depends on something else, and if one thing goes wrong, it can kind of screw up the entire system. And that is sort of what happened for a week or so in the Suez Canal. And it's kind of a chancy state of affairs where where so much depends on so many particular choke points that the whole system can come to a complete halt, and goods get backed up. I haven't heard too much more about it, but I understand there were live animals in some of these cargo carriers. What happened to them?
Dale is on the line.
We have somebody on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Bear.
Yes.
I always enjoy your show. However, you mentioned something about how you hear things on cable you don't hear elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that you hear an awful lot of things on cable that are paraded out endlessly elsewhere. For example, everything related to COVID. You have people advocating for masks, even though there are hundreds of studies that have shown that they have no value and that they provide a health hazard. You have people talking about social distancing, which emanated from a high school science project. There's no scientific evidence to back it up. You have people advocating for these vaccines, which are not vaccines, and have so far killed 7,000 people.
Well, can you back that up in any way? I mean, you say that
back what up? There are countless studies they've done with respect to masks. There's one recently done, I think, by the Dutch that involved about 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And what it showed was the same thing that all these other studies showed, was that people who wore an N95 mask, which is supposed to be the ultimate, and those who wore no mask had the same outcomes. Those who wore cloth masks had more infections. And it's easy to demonstrate some of the adverse effects of these cloth masks. You have lowered blood oxygen, you have increased inhalation of CO2, you're rebreathing whatever you would normally be exhaling. With respect to the deaths, there are 4,000, approximately 4,000. This is reported by the UK government. We have the vaccine adverse reaction reporting system in this country that has already totaled 2,000 deaths and about 200,000 adverse reactions, some including Bell's palsy and seizures and blood clots. You know, I don't know how you can advocate for these things. And furthermore, even by Fauci's own statements, the vaccine won't prevent you from getting it, and it won't prevent you from spreading it.
Well, is there a where would the can people find these results?
Well, you can you have to really search for them, because, for example, people who have posted on YouTube things like the just posting the package insert for these vaccines will get you deplatformed. Dr. Michael Yeadon, you can look him up. He used to be the chief the vice president of Pfizer, is telling people that they shouldn't be taking these vaccines. You can Google him.
How do you spell his name?
It's Yeadon, I believe. I'm not sure.
Well, this is something I haven't heard much about. I think this is something that people should check out. So they can Google Michael Yeadon and find out. Is there any some of these articles you mentioned? Like, where can they be found?
Well, I'm not a computer expert. I just fumble around in there and you find these things. But you know, there are a lot of, you know, there's this thing called the Great Barrington Declaration. Are you familiar with that?
Heard the name, but I'm not sure what it is.
Well, it has to do with the response to this COVID thing, and there are over 50,000 scientists and medical professionals that have signed on to this. You don't hear anything about that on the mainstream news, but you've got, like I say, you've got people on your station parading out the same nonsense that you hear everywhere else.
Well, we don't know it's nonsense. I mean, we
you
have.
You do know it's nonsense.
We have conflicting.
You only have to look at.
Well, I would recommend that people check this out. Go online, and you know, there's a seems to be discrepancy between between accounts here, and so I would recommend that. Okay, go online. We have a name of a person to look up and check it out.
There's another one, Dr. Sherry Denpenny.
Pardon?
Dr. Dolores Cahill. All these people are experts in these fields, and they are being basically censored in this country. I mean, anybody that brings up anything negative about these vaccines is immediately censored or mocked or one thing and another. And like I say, I find it really disturbing that Abu is promoting the same nonsense.
Well, I you know, it's not just KBOO. I mean, this seems to be the I guess the climate of opinion, but I hear this on other stations too, and in the newspapers and in periodicals, that you know, this is the account of what is going on with this pandemic. And so you know, there are alternative voices, alternative opinions. I would recommend that cable listeners kind of check this out. This is,
you know, one other thing that should be checked out. You know, we keep reporting these number of deaths. The thing of it is that the protocol for listing a COVID death on the death certificate is a positive PCR test within the last 28 days. There was one fellow that had 7 gunshot wounds that they listed as a COVID death.
You know, we're getting near the end of the show, and you are dumping a lot of information on us. I would just recommend that people go online, check this out. You know, we can cable listeners, we can be our own investigators and see what we can find out. I mean, it's this is you know, this is not the does not seem to be the settled opinion that you are, you know, you are making these statements and that go against the what you hear from other presumably people who know what they're talking about. So I would just say that in this case that people should go online and check out some of this stuff. Is this pandemic overblown? Are we are the vaccinations useless, or are they dangerous? Well, we have one listener saying so, so I think it's up to the listeners to check out these accusations and then come to your own conclusions, because we're getting I guess very near the end of this show, and this is brought to you on KBOO, your radio station. We are always in need of funds and for input, and we are in need of volunteers to help keep these this radio station on the air. So stay in touch, give us a call, give us your support. KBOO, your radio station.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience produced at a different location every week. Today on Sprouts, we feature an interview with journalist and